Opening credits, British Board of Film Censors Certification of Approval, this is to certify that War of the Satellites has been passed for general exhibition. Released by Panton Film Distributors Limited, Allied Artists Pictures Corporation presents. Title, War of the Satellites, starring Dick Miller, Susan Cabot, Richard Devon. With Eric Sinclair, Michael Fox, Robert Shane, Jerry Barkley, John Brinkley, Tony Miller. And Bruno Vasota, Jay Sayer, Mitzi McCall, Roy Gordon, Beach Dickerson, James Knight. Screenplay by Lawrence Louis Goldman, from a story by Irving Block and Jack Rabin. Director of Photography, Floyd Crosby, Art Director, Dan Holler, Film Editor, Irene Mora, Sound, Philip Mitchell, Set Decorator, Harry Reef, Makeup, Stanley Orr. Special Effects Designed and Created by, Jack Rabin, Irving Block, Louis DeWitt. Music Composed and Conducted by Walter Green. Produced and Directed by Roger Corman. Outer space, the black void of space is dotted by bright stars and planets. A circular object with antennae sticking out spins and flies in a sideways motion. Earth's surface, a telescope dome against the night sky. Inside, a monitor displays stars mounted in front of a window. The circular object passes across the screen. Men in a control observe.
How much longer?
Very soon now.
Why do we watch? Patience, Mr. Lemoyne. We must give the good doctor the benefit of every doubt. And you must admit that we have done that up to now.
Yes, Mr. Doctor. I must admit that.
Let me see now. This is 9 times $500 million, and this will make 10.
The object on the screen.
It's still in its orbit, Mr. Arcot.
For the moment. Miss Carrington, what is your opinion?
A woman sits on the side.
I correlate observed data, Mr. Arcot. I make no predictions.
Well, I make a prediction. All those men in that satellite will die, as have all the others. And when they do, your project comes to an end, Doctor.
Satellite is approaching the critical area.
The men in the room step forward toward the monitor and stare in anticipation. A bright light.
There it is, the barrier. It's forming again. Get through it. Get through it.
On the screen, a bright star-shaped object spins against the dark wavy background. The men watch it with stern faces. The satellite approaches the bright object, which contracts into a light ball. The men in the room stare at the screen intensively. The satellite and the light ball explode on contact. One of the men in the room drops his arms. Akat looks down. Then he speaks.
I am truly sorry, Dr. Van Ponder. What is it that destroys every manned satellite we launch?
I don't know.
Van Ponder looks at the monitor concerned.
I just don't know.
And yet you propose to follow this 10th failure with another attempt, using more of your volunteers?
No matter how many times we fail, Mr. Arcad, we'll continue until we succeed.
Human beings are not guinea pigs. I warn you, Doctor, I shall fight you on the floor of the Council all the way. We've seen enough.
Akat and another man exit the room. Full moon in the night sky. A couple kiss in a convertible parked on a deserted road.
Are you still cold, baby?
Yeah, but I'm getting warmer every second. Ring-a-ding-ding-ding.
Hey, listen, doll. They're playing our song.
Yeah, I don't dig the arrangement.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Too many violins. Change the station. Maybe we can get somebody else's disc.
All right. Don't move.
I'll be right back.
A descending round object speeds down the starry sky.
A shooting star?
Oh, darling, you're so romantic. Make a wish.
Oh, that's no shooting star. Can't be Sputnik. It's not listed in the TV guide. Oh, wow, something is flipping around here.
Yes, and it's my top. Oh, Jay, I really am scared.
The flying object hits the ground nearby and explodes.
Did you hear something?
Yeah, my elastic just snapped.
No, besides that, idiot. Go see what it is. Well, go ahead. Well, you're not scared, are you?
The man gets out of the car and walks away. He wades through the bushes. He stops and looks around. He spots a long metallic object stuck in the ground.
Hey, Mitch, come get a load of this!
All right. But I hope you know what you're doing. You know, you flunked chemistry twice.
The woman gets out of the car. She runs toward the man.
What do I do now?
I don't know, but make it snappy. We're double parked.
They make an okay sign with their hands. They approach the object. It looks like a small rocket. The man grabs it, but can't pull it out of the ground.
Well, don't just stand there. Who's the three-letter man around here?
The woman leans over and grabs the object cautiously. They manage to pull it out.
Asmassianum unitum planetae.
Daytime. The UN building scene from below. Member country delegates meet.
To the United Nations of the third planet of minor luminary Sol, called by the inhabitants thereof the Earth. Attention. We, the masters of the spiral nebula Gamma, have been observing your actions. Understand, Earthlings, that we look with disfavor upon your persistent efforts to depart from your own planet and infest other areas of the universe. We have therefore set up quarantine measures to ensure that this contamination shall not be allowed to spread. We shall frustrate your every attempt in the future as we have those in the past. Knowing that Earthlings are equipped with rudimentary reflex-type intelligence, we are taking this means of conveying our command that all such efforts to expand and depart from the infected planet Earth shall from this moment be stopped.
Mr. President. Mr. President. Mr. President!
Mr. President, the chair recognizes the honorable member from the United States.
A delegate from the United States stands.
Mr. President, honorable delegates to the General Assembly, I speak for all men everywhere when I say that this alien intelligence is wrong. That man cannot be dismissed as a disease or as a growth that infects our planet. Our hopes, our aspirations lead us to the stars. And no other race has the right to judge us or to deny us that journey.
Later in an office.
What do you make of the space message, Dr. Von Ponder?
You think it's a hoax?
Gentlemen, ladies, please. Now, I'd be a little less than frank with you if I didn't admit that whatever I might say is only an opinion.
Well, Doctor, why was this message in Latin?
Does it mean an end to Project Sigma?
The fact that the message was in Latin causes me to believe it's a hoax. There are those who would like to see our rocket program abandoned. However, as for Project Sigma, it most assuredly will proceed.
Then you'll ask for new volunteers.
You think you'll get a crew?
Well, there's an old saying. If you just want something, send someone for it. But if you really want it, go yourself.
Then you go up yourself?
Lockhart calls it a suicide mission.
I won't ask anyone to take a risk I wouldn't take myself. I mean to captain my own ship.
Captain your own ship?
Isn't this very dangerous, sir?
And now, gentlemen, and ladies, if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment with some components.
The reporters get up and exit.
I'm going with him.
Well, I guess that makes me a volunteer also.
A man and a woman, the colleagues of Dr. Van Ponder, come over to his desk.
You really started something this time, Doctor. I think you're right.
Well, thank you. But I'm not at all certain I am right. But if this thing is a hoax and you can prove it...
I didn't say I could prove it, Dave.
I said there was evidence. Unfortunately, there's just as much evidence the other way.
Like what?
Well, ever since the capsule landed, we've been working on it. The metal container itself defies analysis. It's harder than anything we've yet been able to devise. And it has a fantastic thermal resistance.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know that. I haven't seen all the reports yet.
Oh, yes. And consider their method of communication. Now, this is something. Telepathically geared to the human mind. One merely thinks the word message, and it appears. Stop thinking, and it goes blank again.
Curious about the Latin.
Well, why not Latin? Once it was understood throughout the civilized world, perhaps they think it still is.
Well, the whole thing is still a little hard to swallow.
Dave, not so many years back, space travel itself was a little hard to swallow.
They smile. Van Ponder exits. Newspaper headline, Sigma program given okay. Then the same headline in Spanish. Night. An aerodrome platform with three rockets. The Observer headline, message from space, hoax, says scientist. Next headline from the Miami News, Hotchkiss's plan okayed by Security Council. Day. The aerodrome. A space rocket stands on the platform. Two men walk down the alley. Los Angeles Times headline, crew in training for space flight. The New York Herald Tribune headline, Sigma nearing completion. Night. A satellite on a platform. A woman enters an office and approaches Van Ponder sitting behind a desk.
I've calculated the figures for the Doppler effect at the speeds we'll be traveling.
I want the figures all the way up to the speed of light. We can't put the solar reactors through a full test here on Earth. But if they reach optimum efficiency in space, we'll be the first to achieve photon propulsion.
But, Van, that would mean... Dr. Van Ponder's office. Mr. Hotchkiss. He sounds worried.
Yes, Hodge.
It's Arcad and his crowd, Van. They're reviving the whole suicide issue in the council. They're beginning to play it pretty rough. You better get down here in a hurry.
I'll get there as fast as I can. I have to be at the United Nations. Extend this series and I'll check it tomorrow.
Van Ponder gets up and exits. Dusk. Dr. Van Ponder drives along an empty country road. He jerks at the wheel nervously. Van Ponder turns the wheel with difficulty. Light rays pulsate in the sky. Van Ponder struggles to round the bend at high speed. The light rays continue flickering. Van Ponder struggles with the wheel. The car can barely stay in the lane. Lights flicker. Van Ponder struggles to control his car. Again, the light rays flicker, but with circular waves pulsating around Van Ponder. The car flies off the road and rolls over downhill. The light rays disappear. The UN building at night.
And so, Mr. President, even at this late hour, and after millions have been poured down the drain in this insane project, it is not too late to reconsider. Something greater than money is at stake.
A man passes a note to Hotch.
The lives of the fine young people who have been deceived into believing they would travel into outer space.
Mr. President, I apologize to the honorable delegate for interrupting, but his speech is no longer necessary. Dr. Van Ponder, without whom Project Sigma cannot proceed, Dr. Van Ponder was killed in an automobile accident while on his way to this forum.
The delegates look around in confusion.
Mr. President, I extend my condolences to the delegate from the United States. But now there can be no further reason to delay passage of my motion to suspend payment of funds to Project Sigma. Immediately!
Van Ponder enters the hall. The delegates straighten up in their seats. Van Ponder looks around with a deadpan face. Later he talks to Hotch.
I hope I never live through another moment like that again, Van. Getting that message, the shock of seeing you in the doorway. Risen from the dead like that, it's almost a miracle. As I explained, the officer was mistaken.
Hotch's office.
Well, miracle or no miracle, it certainly worked like a charm. It pulled the slats right out from under old Ockard. If I didn't know you better, I'd say you planned it yourself.
Van Ponder stands.
But if you'll excuse me, Hotch, I have some charts to prepare. I do hope you don't mind my using your office.
Not at all, not at all. Make yourself comfortable.
Hotch leaves the office. Van Ponder is left alone. He places the files on the desk and flips on the radio.
Spending would be a very serious matter at home and abroad. There was consternation in the United Nations Assembly when Dr. Van Ponder appeared dramatically after his death had been announced to the...
Van Ponder emanates.
Upon his appearance, the delegates cheered Dr. Van Ponder to the rafters, then proceeded to vote unlimited funds for Project Sigma.
He duplicates. Another Van Ponder detaches from him and walks to the radio across the room. Then both Van Ponders walk away in opposite directions. Day. The aerodrome. Newspaper heading, full speed on Sigma as UN gives blessing. Van Ponder in his office. Pulsating rings beside him.
They proceed with their plans.
He speaks toward them.
Our warning did not deter them. I propose a stronger warning.
The pulsating rings disappear.
Come in.
Excuse me, Van. I thought I heard you talking to somebody.
No, Dave. Quite alone.
I was wondering if I could ask you a question. Personal.
Certainly. Sit down.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
It's about Sybil.
Miss Carrington?
She volunteered for this job, Van, because she has great admiration for you. And the faith that you'll probably succeed where the others have failed. But you and I know what our chances of returning are.
Do you agree with Arcot that it's a suicide mission?
I didn't say that. If I did, I wouldn't be here. But I know the dangers involved, and I think you should order Sybil to stay behind.
Miss Carrington is a very intelligent young woman, quite capable of reaching her own decisions.
Doctor, turn on the radio quickly.
Van Ponder gets up, walks to the radio.
Floods, earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions in unheard of numbers bursting out all over the world. Foreign Minister Slurdoff first accused the United States of triggering the fires that broke out in his country by nuclear means, until convinced that similar holocausts were occurring without visible cause through this and other nations as well. There have been suggestions that these disasters are a follow-up of the warning purporting to come from outer space.
Fires are shown.
From hostile beings on a distant nebula who demanded that humans desist from attempts at space travel.
A tsunami.
The strange message was dismissed as a hoax by the United
Nations. A fracture in Earth opens up, swallows trees.
Persons believe that it should have been taken seriously. But just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. A bulletin has been handed me. Reports are coming in thick and fast of wheat and cornfields destroyed, ships sunk, all occurring at the same instant. This is a bulletin. There can be no question of coincidence here. These terrible events are purposeful and directed.
Van Ponder turns off the radio.
Hello? Yes, Hotch. Yes, we've been listening. Well, what can we do? We've got to quit.
Dave and Sybil listen with stern faces.
I know it's disappointing. How do you think I feel? Yes, I know. But we can't fight this.
Yes. Dave Boyer is here with me now. I'll send him over with a statement you can read on the floor. Goodbye.
Hangs up the phone.
Van, you're not giving up.
We're up against a race of beings whose intelligence is as ours to ants and bacteria. We have the choice of continuing to exist under whatever conditions they may name, or of being exterminated. It's that simple. Sybil, I want you to type this up immediately.
Van Ponder writes a note.
Intolerable.
Well, I guess that puts the wraps on Sigma.
And to think that Van should have to plunge the knife. Now, let Stevens give the report. I haven't got the heart for it. I'm sick.
Dave grabs the report from the desk and leaves. At the UN building.
The honorable delegates will recall how my colleagues and I warned of the dire consequences if we ignored this ultimatum. We are obviously in the grip of a force stronger than we can oppose. I notice that the delegate from the United States has chosen not to be present.
Dave shows up with a report.
Well, Mr. United States delegate, don't you agree that we must immediately give up this insane project as a matter of pure naked survival?
The delegate from the United States sends his apologies for his unfortunate absence from this important meeting.
Sybil enters.
But he sent me here with a message that expresses not only his views, but the views of Dr. Van Ponder, head of Project Sigma. The delegate has spoken of naked survival. Gentlemen, you do not survive by abject surrender. Nations and worlds must fight for survival. If we give in now, let down our defenses, give this alien planet full control over our actions and our lives for mere survival, won't they decide to take even that away from us? Now, the gentlemen here ask themselves why these aliens are so concerned that we do not penetrate the Sigma barrier. Isn't it peculiar that this action alone excites them to retaliation? They consider us a danger to them if we break out of quarantine, as they so tactfully put it. They haven't even bothered to find out whether our motives are peaceful or not. They don't know that we would collaborate and share knowledge, greet them as equal partners in the universe. But we can't show them this by surrendering. No, it is precisely because they do not wish us to travel the skies that we must do so. Gentlemen, we must proceed with Project Sigma at all costs.
The delegates applaud. Dave rises and leaves his table. Sybil follows him.
And what looked like certain defeat for Project Sigma was turned into a brilliant vindication by the impassioned address of an emissary representing both Delegate Hotchkiss and Dr. Van Ponder.
Van Ponder in his room. Night. The aerodrome. Two men pass one another in the doorway.
Radiation density at 1,500 miles, 10 to the minus 27.
Van Ponder's office.
2,000 miles, 10 to the minus 30.
A man enters.
2,500 miles.
Doctor, how did you get here?
Yeah, we've been sweating it out here for the past 3 hours.
Well, that's funny, because I could have sworn I just saw you over the proving ground.
I guess the pace is getting too much for you, Johnny. The eyes go first. Van here will probably be next. Been working like twins.
Triplets is more like it.
Shakes head.
Oh, I just came to tell Dave that the new solenoids have arrived. We're testing them now.
Okay, Johnny, I'll check them later.
John exits.
You know, Van, I would have sworn you'd take my head off of that stunt I pulled at the Security Council.
On the contrary, Dave, I should thank you. I don't know what got into me to give way as I did. I mean, you're dead for saving Project Sigma.
Do you still have that growth on your arm? You know, you ought to take care of that, Van. Those things can be dangerous.
Dr. Van Ponder, you are wanted in reactor construction area. Urgent.
I better get over there. Dave, I'd like you to...
The same growth is on the left arm, too.
What's the matter?
Nothing, Van.
Well, you can handle the rest of these reports, can't you?
Sure. I'll see you later.
All right.
Van Ponder exits the room. Dave ponders, then grabs his jacket and enters the closet to pick up his coat. Dave walks in the parking lot. He pauses and writes down the number from Van Ponder's car's plates in his pocket notepad. Then he gets in his car. Van Ponder enters a workshop where John Intended Goggles works on an item with a torch.
You wanted to see me, John?
Yes, Doctor.
Van Ponder nudges it.
It's these new solenoids. They're not testing up to capacity resistance.
John hangs his torch on the item.
Oh? How do they test?
Well, 68 ohms maximum. Should be at least 75.
The torch burns Van Ponder's hand.
See, I thought if I added this extra
coil... I don't think it matters very much.
John notices.
The element of the reactor is geared to a 6-to-1 safety factor.
Look out! Good Lord, I'll get a doctor.
No! John!
John sprints out of the lab as Van Ponder shuts off the torch. He looks at his charred hand, then looks away. He looks back at the open door, then down at his burnt hand. He starts twisting the wrist. He glances back at the door again, and rubs the burnt tissue off with his other hand. Healthy tissue appears underneath. A smirk appears on his face. His hand seems almost healed now. He keeps rubbing until his hand becomes clean and unscathed. Van Ponder opens his hands. They are both unharmed. He smiles. John runs in with a doctor.
Let me look at that hand, Van.
He examines both hands.
What kind of a joke is this?
Would you mind explaining what this is all about?
Oh, sure. John came rushing in, said you'd burned your hand. Burned it off, he said.
With the torch, I saw it.
Quite obviously, he's mistaken.
Yes, I should think he is.
John forcefully grabs Van Ponder's hand.
We were examining these solenoids. Suddenly he screamed and ran from the room.
John stares in disbelief.
I see. Well, he's been under a lot of pressure. I'm surprised there hasn't been more of this sort of thing as we approach blastoff.
What are you talking about?
Buck fever, my boy. I'm afraid you're grounded.
But you can't negate what I saw.
Come on now, I'm sure Dr. Van Ponder...
But I saw it with my own eyes in the flame of that torch.
Van Ponder's emotionless.
He didn't even feel it.
John!
There's something about you. You're not human.
John, stop it!
All right, I'll go.
John points.
But I know what I saw.
Perhaps you see too much, John.
Come on, John.
The doctor leads John out of the room. Van Ponder smirks. A junkyard office storefront. Dave enters it from the street. Dave and the junkyard's employee walk among the car wrecks and salvaged parts. The employee points at a pile of chrome bumpers. Dave is inspecting the bumpers and license plates, looking for something specific. He moves them to access one tucked away. He finds a dirty license plate. He wipes it with a cloth until the number is legible. He ponders. Dave dials a number on a public phone. Sybil answers.
Hello?
Hello, Sybil. This is Dave. Look, I know it's a little late, but this is kind of important.
Dave, where have you been? They've been trying to locate you everywhere. We blast off at 2330.
2330?
Van, advance the time. You've just got 45 minutes. You better step on it.
Look, Sybil, meet me at the launching site. I've got to speak to you.
Dave, stop wasting time. Hurry!
Dave hangs up. The launching site, night. In the building, people are walking hurriedly in a corridor. Dave appears wearing a flight suit.
Rocket 1, final roll call.
Dave spots Sybil in a flight suit, too. She stops and waits.
Sybil, I've got to talk to you. It's important.
Rocket 1, minus 6 minutes.
We don't have much time, Dave.
We've got plenty of time. They're just calling for Rocket 1.
I'm going on Rocket 1.
You were scheduled for Rocket 2 with me.
Well, Van made the switch.
Van made the switch? Sybil, you can't go with him.
He must have had a reason.
Rocket 1, minus 5 minutes.
She gets in an elevator. Dave walks away. General view of the launching site, three rockets ready for takeoff. In the control room, a man brings in some papers.
Corrections on the calculation.
Okay.
The man drops the papers and exits.
Checking in, sir.
All right, Bennett.
In the corridor, Van Ponder with a clipboard spots the doctor and John approaching. He writes on the clipboard.
Ready, Van? I thought you grounded him.
Oh, no, he's perfectly okay. I checked him out thoroughly. Even gave up your hallucination, didn't you, John?
John stares.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry I caused trouble, sir.
You see, just as good as new. And astronautical engineers don't grow on trees, do they?
No. No, they don't. But I'll see you on board.
Yes, sir.
See you, man.
Rocket 1, minus 4 minutes. Dr. Van Ponder wanted in general control.
Dave walks along the corridor.
Dr. Van Ponder, you're wanted on board Rocket 1 immediately.
Van Ponder takes a couple of steps but pauses. He looks back, the door slides open. Dave reaches the corner, stops, and watches Van Ponder secretly.
Minus 3 minutes. Crew stations, all Rocket 1 personnel.
Van Ponder looks at the door again. He duplicates. His clone walks toward an elevator door and materializes fully. Van Ponders look at each other and walk away in opposite directions.
Minus 2 minutes. All unauthorized personnel, clear launching area.
Dave runs back. At the launching site, Van Ponder enters the rocket.
We're about to blast off.
Sybil takes the seat and buckles up. Van Ponder exits. He walks along the hall. Van Ponder enters the control room and approaches the panels.
All instruments checked out?
Everything all right.
Good. I'm depending on you.
Yes, sir.
In another room, John sits down and buckles up. Van Ponder enters. Van Ponder leans over John.
Have a good trip, John.
Yes, sir.
Van Ponder exits. John follows him with his eyes. Van Ponder returns to Sybil. He takes a seat next to her and buckles up. Van Ponder buckles in and reclines his seat so they both face skyward and looks at Sybil. She looks back at him. Dave walks out of the building and looks at the rocket. He frowns. His eyes are full of concern.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
I didn't get a round trip ticket.
2, 1.
The rocket's engines ignite. Sybil and Van Ponder in their seats. The rocket lifts off. It ascends, fire blast from its tail propulsion section.
Rocket 2, minus 10 minutes.
Dave walks back into the building, then enters the second rocket and straps himself to a seat next to the doctor.
Minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Smoke billows as the rocket starts. The rocket lifts off. It zooms through the night sky. A man in the ground control room watches the monitors.
Rocket 1, second stage. Fire.
The rocket modules detach.
Rocket 2, second stage. Fire.
Rocket 2 modules detach.
Rocket 3, second stage. Fire. Rocket 1, third stage. Fire.
Rocket modules split up again. The detached module plunges down into the dark.
Rocket 1 approaching rendezvous point. Rocket 2 converging. Rocket 3 converging. Fire.
The three rockets come to a full stop and satellite parts release from the main hulls of each of the rockets. The parts converge and conjoin into one spherical unit. All the elements come together. A small dish pops out of the satellite.
Contact completed. Ship in orbit. Ground control handing over. Good luck.
Thank you. Satellite control taking over. Up antenna.
A man presses a button. An antenna slides out of the satellite.
Antenna up.
Activate gravity control.
The satellite spins around a bit.
Gravity control on.
Feedback interlock on automatic.
Feedback interlock on automatic.
Orient solar aspect cells.
The dish on the satellite starts to rotate.
Solar aspect cells on.
Automate robot control.
Robot control on.
Sybil, check the computer panel.
Van Ponder and Sybil get up. Van Ponder exits. Sybil fumbles with the panel on the wall. John gets up from the seat in his chamber. Van Ponder enters.
I'm glad to see Lazar was right about your surviving the blast off.
Hey, doctor.
Van Ponder puts his hand close to John's chest.
I can't move.
I've partially inactivated your muscular system.
What?
There's no time to be more explicit. I have no desire to harm you. However, necessity governs action. The warning from outer space was valid. It came from a superior intelligence. An intelligence able to transform energy into matter and back again. You once told me I was not human. You were correct. I am above the human. A transformation which can be yours. This satellite will never return to Earth. Its disintegration upon contact with the energy barrier will end Project Sigma and all similar projects to come. The creatures of your planet are not yet ready for space.
Who are you to decide?
We have only your best interests at heart. In this realm of outer space, you are mere children. And it is disastrous for children to enter areas where they have so little understanding. John, I can offer you the opportunity of joining us.
You can go to hell. I was born a human and I'll die one before I'll join a race that kills innocent people for abstract ideas.
Abstract idea. Very well. You've made your decision. One I'm certain you'll deeply regret. For only death remains.
Van Ponder touches John on the chest, then lays an unconscious John on the floor.
Van, I thought I heard...
Sybil enters and spots unconscious John on the floor.
He couldn't stand the acceleration. I knew he should have stayed behind.
Sybil kneels beside John and furrows her brow. Van Ponder exits. He walks in the hall. Van Ponder enters the control room and approaches two men sitting at the control panels.
Orbiting on schedule, sir.
Fine.
Van Ponder touches the panel.
This is the captain speaking. We have successfully completed the first phase of our mission, and I wish to congratulate all members of the crew. I can now reveal to you the plan by which we hope to overcome the cosmic accumulations which have destroyed all of our previous manned satellites. The plan consists of two steps. Step one has already been accomplished. This called for a blast velocity of over 1,000 times that of our previous satellites, a force which has carried us into an orbit far beyond the moon. At our present velocity, this cosmic mass, if encountered, will act as a solid, impenetrable wall. However, at the first indication of this mass, or sigma barrier as we call it, we will put into operation the second step of our plan, which varies according to necessity. If at this time we have accumulated enough solar energy for 750 miles per second, we shall be able to blast through the barrier and in so doing destroy it. Should the barrier appear before we have reached the requisite velocity, we shall take immediate action to avoid it.
Dave, what are you doing here? You should be in operations.
I regret to inform you there has been one casualty. Astronautical engineer John Compo was found dead. Apparently the result of blast-off acceleration. All hands not on duty will attend a space funeral at 1400 hours.
Sybil, I've got to talk to you. It's about Van. He's not human.
Dave, don't be ridiculous.
I saw him. He's split in two. He's been seen in two places at the same time.
Why aren't you at your post?
What happened to Johnny? Did you kill him?
We're now in outer space with one man dead. And I can't afford to lose another by confining you to quarters. So I'm giving you another chance. We'll see no more about your accusation.
Van leans on the desk.
But I warn you. Get out of line just once more, and I shall take the necessary measures. I remind you that I am the captain of this ship, and that astroplanetary law gives me supreme and unquestioned command. Do I make myself clear?
Van left his fingerprints.
Yes.
Dave exits.
Van... Please forgive him. We've all been under a great strain.
There is no room for personal feelings on this mission. For his sake, he'd better straighten himself out.
He speaks with a stern look on his face and exits. The satellite spins in space. The Earth is seen in the background. Inside the ship.
This is a sad duty we must perform.
A funeral.
To say goodbye to a brave and beloved fellow crewman.
Dave and Dr. leave.
We must think of him as one who gave his life in a noble endeavor. The salvation of the human race.
Well, I feel it's all my fault. I should never have checked the kid out.
Said there was nothing physically wrong with him.
Well, that's the curious thing. I was extra cautious. I double-checked every test. There's just no reason why he should have died from the same acceleration we all took. His training record was better than most.
Dave looks at the doctor.
He was murdered.
Murdered?
Look, Johnny knew something dangerous, something he shouldn't have known, and he was killed for it.
And so we commend his body to the depths of space.
A man opens a hatch in the floor. Another man lifts a sack with John's body, and they both drop it into the hole. The man closes the hatch. The man presses a button on the wall. Outside, the body bag is jettisoned out of the satellite into space.
Haven't you noticed Van's face? There's something different about it. I can show you what I mean.
Dave pulls Van Ponder's photo ID and reflects half of his face in a mirror.
Well, that means nothing, Dave. Everybody's face is slightly asymmetrical.
Yes, but not Van's. I've been watching it. Here's something else. You got a magnifying glass?
Yes.
Sybil enters.
Sybil, I'm glad you're here. I'd like you to see this, too.
Dave, you're disobeying orders.
Orders? From Van? Don't you realize he's trying to destroy us all? These are Van's prints.
Dave and the doctor look at Van Ponder's fingerprints.
They're identical.
Mirror images.
What does that mean?
What I've been trying to tell you. This is not Van.
Dave!
It's true. I saw Van's car. It was burnt to a crisp. Over the license plates. I checked those out. Van died in that car. This man's a substitute. A copy of the real Van.
You don't expect me to believe that fantastic nonsense.
Is it fantastic that there's an intelligent race out there that stops at nothing to keep us quarantined on our own planet? Is the Sigma barrier fantastic? They've destroyed every ship we sent up, and now through him they mean to destroy this one. Could those prints lie?
You know, ever since his accident, Ben has always found some excuse to keep me from giving him a routine checkup. I haven't even checked his heart.
It's quite possible he doesn't have one.
Well, I'll find out, and we'll know for sure.
The doctor exits. Sybil looks at the fingerprints. Outside, the satellite spins in space. Van Ponder sits in a room.
Oh, hello, Howard.
Hi, Van.
What can I do for you?
Well, it's time for a checkup. I have to check your heart. It has to go on the report.
I'm in perfect health, and you know it.
Yes, but I'm not so sure the board will take my word for it. You fellows read the instruments. It's up to me to read the human being.
A light ball is pulsating in space, wrapped in whirling haze. The men in the control room notice it.
Captain! Captain, wanted in control room. Urgent.
I guess we'll have to put it off, hmm?
No, no. I'll wait.
All right, Howard. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Van Ponder exits. Dr. Howard follows him with his eyes. Van Ponder enters the control room and comes over to the men by the controls.
Some action ahead, Skipper. The dials are acting up.
Well, it's still pretty faint. Could be cosmic dust. Keep your eye on it. If it continues to build, call me.
Yes, sir. And what do you make of that?
Cosmic dust.
Van Ponder walks along the hall. He pauses and looks around, then enters a room. Van Ponder stands in the room. He starts breathing deeply. He places both his hands on the sides of his chest, closes his eyes, then opens them. His face becomes tense, his eyes open wide. He places his hand on his breastbone. His face becomes extremely tense, his eyes are wide open. He calms down. His face relaxes, His eyes return to their natural size. He places his right hand on his heart and smiles faintly. He keeps smiling. His face looks relieved. He turns around and exits the room. Van Ponder walks out into the hall. He pauses, raises his eyebrow and walks off. Van Ponder pauses as he sees Sybil approaching.
Captain.
Captain, do you have to be so formal?
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm a little hurt. I thought we knew each other better. Better than that, anyway. I've been wanting to talk to you about us.
Of course, Captain.
Van.
A man emerges from around the corner and walks past Van Ponder and Sybil.
I'm in the middle of a computation.
Half an hour, then.
Sybil smiles, nods, and walks off. In a room, Dr. Howard pulls items out of his bag. He inspects Van Ponder's employee ID. He raises his eyes, thinking. Van Ponder approaches outside in the hall. He enters the room.
All right, Doctor. You wanted to listen to my heart? Proceed. I have work to do.
Dr. Howard puts a stethoscope on and auscultates Van Ponder's chest. He raises his eyebrows in surprise.
You know, I might almost believe you thought I didn't have a heart.
Everybody has a heart.
Dave Boyer put you up to this, I suppose.
Put me up to what?
Quite typical of the childish mind. I'm sorry, Howard, but I have no more time to waste.
What do you mean?
You're a man of science. What would you do if a guinea pig got out of control and threatened to ruin one of your experiments?
I don't understand.
John didn't understand either.
What is this?
Van Ponder places his hand on Howard's chest like he did with John before. But this time it doesn't work. Van Ponder grabs Howard's throat instead. He chokes Howard to death. Van Ponder looks at Howard's body on the floor, then exits the room. In the hall, two crewmen approach him.
I'm issuing an order for the arrest of one of the crew.
Sir?
I've discovered that John Campo did not die of natural causes. He was murdered. I want Staff Engineer Dave Boyer brought to my quarters immediately. You may use force if necessary.
Yes, sir.
The crewmen depart. Sybil in a room. Dave enters.
Sybil?
Dave, I just saw Van. He seems so strange. I don't know what to think anymore. Maybe you're right.
I know I'm right. I've got to stop him some.
She places her hands on his shoulders.
Dave, please.
Look, I'm going after Van. You go to Dr. Lazar and stay with him. I don't want you here alone.
You're under arrest by order of the captain.
The two men entered.
What for?
No questions. Let's go.
Weapon drawn.
Get to Dr. Lazar. Tell him what happened.
Dave exits the room with a crewman. Sybil looks down perplexed. Van Ponder drags Howard's body out into the hall, opens the hatch in the floor. Back in the control room.
Gauges are going higher.
Check the visit screen.
The man turns a knob to adjust the screen.
You better call Van Ponder.
What for? He already told you it was cosmic dust.
Sure, cosmic dust.
Sybil walks in the hall. Something catches her attention. She sees Van Ponder dumping Howard's body into the hole. She runs away. Van Ponder shuts the hatch, presses a button. Sybil runs along the hall. Van Ponder runs after her. Sybil runs into a room labeled Solar Energy Room. She shuts Van Ponder out.
Sybil, I just want to talk to you.
Van Ponder pushes the door open and enters. Sybil presses her body against the wall.
I just want to talk to you.
She scurries away.
Sybil.
The two crewmen escort Dave along the hall. Dave attacks them, knocks them off, and grabs a gun. In the solar energy room.
I had no choice.
He walks menacingly.
I couldn't permit him to endanger the ship. Please listen to me.
Yes?
I'm human now, Sybil. I need you.
Captain, the prisoner has escaped.
Don't you see,
Sybil pinned against the wall.
Alert all hands.
On Earth.
The satellite is in Sector H9, and in Sector H12 is the barrier. They're heading for it. And let us say rather the barrier is forming where the satellite is bound to travel.
Van knows what he's doing. He'll avoid it.
Well, let us hope so. At least this time, let's hope so.
Dave in the hall with a gun.
Seize the prisoner at all costs.
Dave hides round the corner.
I'm sorry. But there's no alternative.
He tries to touch her. She moves away.
Astrogator to captain. Astrogator to captain.
Why do you... Captain speaking.
Magnetonebulous cloud mass forming dead ahead.
Alpha concentration is building to critical point. Suspect Sigma barrier.
Yes. Sybil, I...
Captain, Sigma barrier dead ahead. We're bearing down rapidly. Awaiting orders. Repeat, awaiting orders.
I... Remain on course.
Remain on course.
What's the matter with old Iron Pants?
I don't know, but if you don't get on the ball, this $3 billion balloon's gonna go bust.
Not only that, we're in it.
Request further orders.
Remain on course.
Sybil stays away from Van Ponder. She looks at him. He duplicates. His clone glances at Sybil with a smirk on his face and exits the room.
I want you to understand.
You're not human. Who are you? What are you?
What am I? Why, I'm human. Because of you, I'm human.
The clone walks in the hall and smiles wickedly. Dave walks in the hall with a gun drawn. He spots the clone approaching. The clone opens a door and walks inside. Dave follows. The clone enters a room. He swipes papers off the desk, finds some documents, and smiles.
Captain to Astrogator. Give readings on approaching mass.
It's about time.
Alpha 102. Beta 147. Gamma 208, thermo 477, radiation 862.
Mass in quadrant 3, sector 9, estimate collision course. Collision time estimate, 5 minutes.
Date enters.
Activate Plan B.
Plan B? Reverse that order. You'll destroy the ship.
Don't be a fool. You can't hurt me with that.
Dave fires at the clone. The clone looks at his hand. In the room with Sybil, Van Ponder does the same.
For the love of Pete, you're running us right into that thing.
You got a better idea?
You can be stopped.
The clone lunges at Dave. He throws him against the wall.
Thermo up. Radiation up. Alpha, beta, and gamma going up. Sky speed. We're decelerating.
Just following orders. Ours is but to do and die.
Die? You've said it.
Crash emergency, dead ahead.
Dave grabs the gun and fires at the clone. The clone cringes, then drops to the floor. In the solar room, Van Ponder cringes and grabs Sybil by her arms. Then they both collapse to the floor. Van Ponder and an unconscious Sybil lie on the floor. Dave kneels.
Sigma barrier dead ahead. Crashing merge.
Dave uses Van's mic.
Reverse previous order. Ditch plan B. Activate plan A.
Activating plan A.
Secure all hands and prepare to blast.
Oh, that's more like it.
Hang on, boy. We ain't out of the woods yet.
Dave staggers down the hall. Unconscious Van Ponder lies next to the gun. Van Ponder vanishes. The gun remains. Van Ponder and Sybil on the floor. Van Ponder vanishes. Sybil still lies unconscious. Control room, the light barrier expands on the screen.
Start burning that sunlight.
The man turns a knob labeled solar energy accumulators. Intensive light fills the room where Sybil is lying. Dave runs in the hall. The intensive light in Sybil's room fades. Dave flips through surveillance images on the screen, sees Sybil.
All hands secure for blast. All hands secure blast in 120 seconds.
Intensive light pulsates again. Men in ground control watch it.
Why don't they blast?
Dave enters the solar energy room.
Sybil. 90 seconds.
Light pulsates, threatens. Dave kneels beside Sybil. She sits up. Dave lifts her. Control room, graphic indicator hits max. The man turns a knob on a control panel. Both men lean back.
Blast in 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sybil and Dave buckle up in their seats. They grab each other's hands. The ship is breaking through the barrier. The observatory dome back on Earth. Men inside it watch the satellite. The barrier expands around the ship. The ship stops and spins. Lights flicker. Hodge and Akkad in ground control watch in anticipation. The ship emits electric sparkles. The light haze covers the ship.
It's disappeared. They've been destroyed. I'm not so sure, Hotchkiss. We can still hear the solar blast. Look!
The ship reappears from the light haze, intact.
They made it.
Sigma calling. Sigma calling. UN satellite control, do you read me? Do you read me?
UNSC calling Sigma. We read you, Sigma. We read you.
We are passing through Andromeda at the speed of light. We've made it. The whole universe is our new frontier.
Images of various galaxies flash one after another. Then, the moon emerges among them. The ship passes the moon and flies towards Earth. Caption: The end.